Welcome to Culture Unfit. My name is Nikia Riviak, and if you've ever felt constrained by culture's expectations of who you should be, what you should do, or what constitutes good, bad, or ugly while showing up in the workplace, then this podcast is for you. Welcome, my beautiful misfits. Welcome back to Culture Unfit, everyone. This is season two, and we have an exciting lineup of interviews in store. However, this first episode of season two is a special one. It is with someone you will hear more about, but her name is Elise Kane, and she's played a really pivotal role in my life, in my professional growth, and I'm excited for you all to hear her nuggets of wisdom. And today's conversation will focus on a few, but primarily the journey into understanding this notion of culture fit and what we really mean when we talk about it. And then, of course, we wouldn't be culture unfit if we didn't delve into the feeling of not fitting in and really disentangling what may be internal feelings of not fitting in and those external markers. So without further ado, let's listen into this conversation between myself and my mentor for life, Elise Kane. I'm extremely excited to have the conversation because this is a conversation that I feel like we have every now and then, but to have it recorded and potential bits of our lives shared and separate, saved for posterity is like very exciting. Now, I could just be like, if you want to know about me and Elise, just listen to this episode. So okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Elise Kane.
All right. So I'm Elise Kane. I left a 32-year career at Colgate-Palmolive several years ago. My most recent position there was VP of Insights and Analytics for North America. And I left because I decided that I wanted to try my hand at something new. And so I wanted to teach. And I had been guest lecturing for a number of professors at Baruch, which is part of CUNY, as well as Tuck. And so I am doing that as well as consulting, which is just very different than what I was doing. And I had been in research for 35 years, but I started my career in psychology, actually, in experimental psychology, which I went into because I really loved the way to think about the way people's minds work and what motivates people. And I also loved research. So I went into experimental psych. I was doing that for 2 years and decided not to continue. And I went for my MBA having no idea what to do. And I took a marketing class. There was a chapter on market research. I looked at it. I said, that's exactly what I want to do. And I was very happy doing it for my 35 years.
I love that story. And I love it because I know that I was around for part of it. But for people listening who don't know this story, Elise was like my first real boss and manager and mentor. And I shouldn't say first real boss because I've had bosses before Elise. I was working before I joined Colgate-Palmolive, but the person who took me in and nurtured a kind of growth that was both very like technical, so introducing me to the field of research and insights, but also very personal. And so much of showing up in an organization requires like personal leadership beyond, you know, the technical side of things. And one of the reasons why I started this podcast was because you don't really learn the skills of personal leadership in school, unless, of course, you are blessed with a professor who really cares to prepare you for work. But what you do learn in school is, you know, how to do the things, right? Like the technical side of things. So, you know, I'm especially excited to share a little bit of the things that Elise did that helped me blossom into the leader I am today. But I'm very curious for you to answer this question, because I think it's a great springboard for how we met. But back then, did you have a philosophy or a way that you approach recruiting and hiring of new people that guided you as a manager?
So I never thought of it as a philosophy. I just lived it. I never articulated it as a philosophy. I thought about it that way. When I was looking for a job, my first career job, because like you, I worked for many years before I found my career. But I just remember that I was looking for an entry-level job. And, okay, just to go back a bit, it took me 2 years to find my first job in market research. So I just, you know, so I was looking for a job for 2 years. And I go on these interviews, and they wanted people with experience that was so specific to what they did. I could not get them to understand that my research capability was far better than theirs, probably coming from experimental psych, and that all they needed to do was teach me how to apply that within a marketing organization. And it amazed me how close they were to that. And so when I started working at Weight Watchers and then Colgate, I really felt that I would give people a chance, because somebody eventually gave me a chance, right? I got my first job at Weight Watchers. And, you know, I thought I did a great job there. And, you know, so if I can do it, I figured other people can do it. And I really wanted to give people an opportunity, even if they didn't have exactly what I was looking for, or exactly what the company was looking for.
Can you talk a little bit about that process? Because I think to hear it is one thing, but to put it into practice is another thing, particularly when you exist within the confines of an organization that may have certain expectations for who comes in. And so this notion of taking a chance, I'm fascinated by, because there's like the organization taking a chance, but it's really you believing in this person enough to fight to have them stay. So what does it actually mean to take a chance on somebody? And I know that's a very kind of lofty question, but if you could make it tangible for us, I think that would be really wonderful.
So you and I have talked many times about traits that we think are very, very valuable. And those traits have to do with curiosity, have passion, a desire to learn, a desire to leave things better than how people found them. And so my feeling is that if people exhibit those types of qualities and they seem intelligent to you, they seem as if they can think critically, they can articulate their thoughts, then I feel that they can learn anything almost. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, maybe not science, maybe not math, but certainly marketing and market research. And so those qualities are more important to me than the job, the exact job experience. And so bringing in somebody who I feel is an analytical thinker, is curious, is passionate, you know, so on and so on, it's taking a chance, because I'm going to have to fight the organization a little bit to do it. But if it doesn't work, they'll say to me, "See, we told you," and I might lose the opportunity to do it again. But for me, I don't feel like it's taking any more of a chance than bringing anybody on. I've hired a number of people who had a great resume, and I unfortunately needed to get rid of them because they weren't delivering what I needed delivered. I just want to say one other thing, because this is important. Obviously, what you're bringing in that person to do and who's going to train that person is very important, because if you need somebody to come in running and manage a business or handle a brand, it's a little harder to bring somebody in that doesn't have any experience, because you don't have the time for them to come up to experience. And the other thing is that who trains them is very critical, because if you're bringing somebody in who doesn't have the experience, you need somebody who's going to take the time to train them. Otherwise, they can't learn, right?
Right.
Those are the two things you need to take into consideration if you're going to bring somebody in who you're kind of taking a chance on. But, you know, I brought in Tharius. I don't know if I should be mentioning other people's names, but I brought in Tharius.
Last name will remain unsaid.
Yes. And he had no market research experience, but he was getting his PhD in political science. And so I felt that he can definitely take that experience and use it within the marketing. And I actually did hire him for a slightly higher grade. It wasn't about the grade level. It was about the experience. And I was never sorry about hiring him.
I love that story. And I want to go back actually to something that you said in describing this notion of taking a chance. And you said, and if I have to fight the organization, then, and so the use of the word fight for me suggests that what you may be doing may not, for whatever reason, be the thing that the organization is expecting. But it's fascinating, because the organization isn't a human being. It's a collection of many things. So, you know, when you talk about the expectations that may be there looming in the organizational's fabric, ether, whatever, and what you're doing, there's some dissonance, there's some discrepancy. And so tell me a little bit about why you think organizations have these sort of strict rules around like who they're looking for, what schools they go to, and why it has to be such a fight to break the shackles of those traditions.
I mean, I think it's pretty simple. And I think that it's really not that complicated. It's just habit. You put together a job description. Within that job description, you put together experiences that you're looking for, required experiences, right? And I just don't think people are really thinking about how they're recruiting, to be honest. I think that it's just, and it's not like they're taking the easy way out. It's, I teach consumer behavior and I teach all about system one, right? The brain is lazy. And so I think that when people are getting ready to hire, including HR, it's just rote and it's the way it's been. And I think that that's a big reason. I think another reason is that if you're speaking about experience, that experience is easier to assess than the traits that I talked about. And so I think that how do you put that on paper? How do you have people rate people's curiosity and passion? Because the rater, it's more subjective for the rater rating those things than experience, right? So I just think that there's a couple of elements to it, and mostly it's just the way it's been done, and it's an easier to measure or to evaluate somebody based on experience.
Yeah, and it's comfortable. And, you know, you talked about system one thinking and this automatic response, and we're not even conscious of these decisions. We make so many of these micro decisions a day. And then the other thing is just as human beings, very much in our psyche, deep within our subconscious, is like a desire for comfort and familiarity. And when you see a name that looks familiar, when you see a school name that maybe you didn't go to the school, but you're aware of their reputation, all of these signals that are embedded inside of a LinkedIn profile or a resume, it's a nice shortcut, right? And sometimes we're not aware that we're making these shortcuts. Now, I want to go into this notion of the subjective and these qualities, because you started off talking about them. I would imagine, because now I'm, you know, years into hiring, that a lot of it is just like an intuition. But when you have managers and other leaders that you're trying to get to embrace this, and they're like, well, how do you know? How do you assess like proactivity, hunger, passion? So, you know, what is it that you can extract from a conversation that you can put on paper so other people can use it as a rubric for evaluation when talking to people?
So in HR, as you know, there's a way of interviewing that's around STAR, right? So it's the situation. Let's see if I can remember what all of it is. The situation, the task, the action, the results, okay? And the philosophy behind STAR is that if you ask people directly, what would you do in a situation where you were not getting along with a coworker? Everybody's response is going to be the same, and everybody's response is going to be motherhood and apple pie, right? Because everybody knows what they are supposed to say. But if you ask them specifically about, tell me about an occasion when you didn't get along with somebody, whether it was a coworker or another student or a teacher, whatever it is. And when they go into the storytelling mode, they tell a lot more detail and a lot more color than they would when you ask that kind of hypothetical question, and you learn a lot from it. And that's the idea behind STAR. But you can also use STAR to ask questions that get at curiosity, that get at passion, right? And so I can ask, if I'm hiring somebody with no experience and they're a student, I can ask them about a project that they worked on that they just really loved. And I could tell by the way they talked about it and what they loved about it, not only about passion, but about curiosity, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you talk to them about, they were involved with anything where they thought things, you know, weren't going as well as they could, you know, what did they do anything, or did they just accept it? I mean, that's not the way I would word it, obviously, because that's a little leading and giving. But you can find out about people's desire to make things better.
Right.
And as I said, their curiosity, their passion, by just talking to them and about their experience, their life, what interests them, how do they learn things that they didn't know, right? All of that.
I certainly wished in my career, I still wish to a certain extent, but I think this is why I love doing this podcast so much and having these conversations, for more managers or people with the responsibility of hiring to take it upon themselves to want to find better ways to suss out those more emotive qualities. Because not all HR departments are like, this is the way that you should approach hiring.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to season 2, episode 1. Next time, we will dig into the second part of my conversation with Elise and explore the questions of fit. Who is fit? What does it mean to be fit? And should we even be trying to achieve it? I want to thank you all again for listening and for helping build this community together. Hit that subscribe button. Feel free to share it with friends, and tune in next time.